B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I mean, sports, it's not like reality TV. You get a real winner and loser. And I think there are two conditions that have to be met for Belichick to regret this. One, and in no certain order. I mean, if Tom Brady goes to Tampa and uses those weapons that everybody's singing about and serenading, and he gets to a Super Bowl, okay, that's one condition that has to be met. And the other one is that Bill Belichick can't find a quarterback, whether it's Stidham or somebody else. Belichick has to fail. So if Belichick was to go 5-11 next season and Tom Brady was to get to the Super Bowl, then Bill Belichick, whether he wants to admit it or not, is going to live to regret it. But Tony, both those conditions may not be met. You may not get either one of them.
That's Mike Wilbon, ESPN. It's Hour 2, Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. Murray and myself in our Tom for Tire Studios. Maz on remote. I disagree with Wilbon. Maz, if Tom Brady goes to Tampa and wins a Super Bowl, is that an automatic loss for Bill Belichick?
No. It depends on what Belichick is able to do here. Because, again, I think it was time. I think that Belichick's happy that Brady's gone. But the other thing is Belichick does have a little bit of an out in this. A little bit. And that is that he wanted to keep Garoppolo. So if there is a quarterback problem going forward, Bill can always say, don't look at me. I had the guy. They made me get rid of him.
That's a good one. That's fair. I would say the first thing doesn't matter. I mean, if Tom Brady goes there and sucks, there's upside for Bill.
Sure. Like,
see, I was ahead of the curve. Okay. But if Brady goes there and plays well, to me, that doesn't reflect poorly on Bill. The only thing that's going to reflect poorly on Bill is after 2 years, he doesn't have a quarterback. Because then it's like, okay, he can play and you didn't have anything. And I think it's purely related to Stidham and or whatever they come up with here in the next year or two at the most. And I think Bill's got to have the next quarterback. He's got to have him quickly. Because if he doesn't and the thing starts to go in the other direction, then this thing you're talking about free agents not wanting to come here, and that then I think that compounds, and you know, that storyline takes hold. If Bill just continues his winning ways, you know, if Greg Popovich wins without Tim Duncan, it's still the Spurs. You know, so if Bill can keep the train going and winning for sure, and especially if Stidham can play, then I think Bill wins.
Oh, he totally does.
And I think Bill wins. It doesn't matter what Tom does down there.
I think, yeah, Brady's success in Tampa is irrelevant in regard to Bill because he was done here. The relationship was severed. Even if Brady wins the MVP this year, you weren't going to get that level of play out of Tom Brady as a New England Patriot going forward. After last year, he was done.
Oh, well, I don't agree with that, Murray. I think people would hold it against Bill. Why didn't you make it work? You know, he could still play. But they'll only do
he
that.
He wasn't willing to.
But you miss it. They'll only
it's about
do
what happens here.
Exactly. They'll only do it if you don't have the answer here, Murray. If you have the answer here, then the answer is, well, okay, fine. Bill was an a-hole. He didn't make it work with Brady, who can still play, but we got the next guy. So we're all set. We had to rip the Band-Aid off eventually, and Bill timed it out. He came in. The second guessing about Brady playing well in Tampa only happens if you have nothing here, I think.
Yeah, no. To me, there's no question. It's all about what happens here. Because the end of Brady was going to come this year, next year. It was inevitable. Sooner or later, it was coming. And the question is, can Bill do anything to then go on and continue the Belichick era, make it purely the Belichick era? So Stidham's a huge part of that. And I'll tell you what, I even think Belichick has the latitude of 2020, assuming that there is a full season this year, that if the Patriots were to go out and have a mediocre year, but they look like they're building something going into 2021 and Stidham looks like he can play, I think Bill gets some latitude there and then we'll see what happens in 2021. So he's got a little bit of a window here to make it happen.
So look, if Brady blows, no matter what happens here, you could say Bill was ahead of the curve. If Brady's great, I still think Bill shouldn't be blamed unless he has no answer here. And I think it's got to come within 2 years. And ideally, it's the first year and Stidham can play. But if there's some sort of path here that, you know, Stidham's not ready, and they patch it together with Cody Kessler and Brian Hoyer, and they still make the playoffs. And then in year two, they land their guy, and they're off and running. Like, I think, like, that's it. Bill's got to have the transition within the next year or two. And if he manages that properly here, I think he wins no matter what Tom does.
So by saying 2 years, though, or year or two, you're giving him, it feels to me like you're giving him almost an out if they were to go 6-10 this year. Does he deserve a pass?
No,
I don't think so.
No, not 6-10. No. I'm not going to accept 6-10.
Okay.
Nope. No, sir. No, sir, Rebob. But, you know, the thing I've talked about, I think the baseline expectation is that they're contending for that playoff berth on week 17.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to make the playoffs, and I think they win the division. But, you know, at the very least, you're 8-7, 9-6. They're going into the last, you know, game of the year, and it's like you win, you're in the playoffs. You lose, you're out. Like, they have to be that team for me.
Yeah,
6-10 isn't good enough.
Now, given his legacy and all he's accomplished, and how much we've all pumped his tires collectively for two decades, if they were to go 5-11, 6-10 next year, he deserves to get raked over the coals.
Well, what if Brady blows? What if Brady loses it? What if Brady can't play? Then don't you say, well, okay, Bill doesn't have the guy, but Brady was toast and Bill called it. You don't think he gets credit for that?
Oh, no, he'll get credit, but he still can't have a losing record here. Because we've pumped this guy up, and you know, even if he's brought in Brian Hoyer, you still think they're going to be competitive.
We're talking about the Belichick decision to let Brady go, okay? If Brady goes down there and can't play, Bill wins no matter what they do here. No,
yeah, I don't agree with that. No, I don't. I don't agree with that for the same reasons that it's about what happens here. And so you can't tell me that to Tom Brady, and let's say if he goes down to Tampa and they don't connect offensively or he's not protected the same way, that it would have been the same here. Belichick would have known how to use him better. So I don't necessarily look at it that way. I look at it as no matter what, it probably would have been better if Brady were here. They can't suck this coming year and still get away with saying, well, we're better off without. People will look at it that way. Okay, but in my mind, Bill would have been better with Brady than he would have been with someone else in 2020.
To me, there's a couple paths to victory here for Bill is all I'm saying. And there's only one big loss. The big loss is if Brady goes down there and can play, and after 2 years, you still don't have the answer at quarterback. Then you look at it and say, well, if we were just going to fumble around for 2 years with frickin' frack and this piece of crap or not, then you would have been better off keeping Brady and developing the guy behind the scenes. And you lost. Like, that's the big loss for Belichick. If Brady goes down there and can play and the Pats don't have their answer after 2 years, that's the loss. That's the risk. And again, people will hold it against Bill if they fumble around here the next 2 years. They'll go back and call the whole thing a fraud. But, Maz, you think that Belichick now has more power than he's ever had in Foxborough?
I do, because I tell you, I was thinking about this morning, and that really when you look at the beginning of his coaching career here in New England, when Belichick came here, he didn't have the credibility yet. It wasn't there yet. He hadn't built what he had built now. And, in fact, I think you have even noted multiple times that the control over the roster wasn't really entirely his control. He had to build that over time. And then by the time he had built it, Brady had started to become a... Now, if you want to argue in the late 2000s, you know, in the early aughts, if, you know, around 2007, at that point, with, you know, the Patriots going 16-0, that Belichick was this godly figure, I think by that point he had, you know, he had reached a point where he was absolutely huge, enormous. But he also still had Brady to deal with to a certain degree, and I guess really now I'm focusing on the last few years a little bit. He's been undercut the last couple of years. Gronkowski, he wanted to trade, and the owner cut him off. He wanted to keep Garoppolo, and the owner cut him off. Brady became a pain in the ass, and he didn't win that battle all the time either. There were constantly these things that Belichick had to take losses on, either because of the ego of his superstars or the intervention of the owner, all these little variables. Now, Brady's gone. Gronk's gone. They have no quarterback. They've cast off all these veteran players. They don't have many coaches on the staff who even have that much experience. So I'm not sure that there's anyone that's going to give him any sort of real pushback in meetings, save from McDaniels, maybe, whom Belichick clearly was not afraid to stab in the back when he went for the Giants job this past year and endorsed Joe Judge. I just don't know if there's anyone there to check him anymore. And so Bill, on some level, loves this part of it. Because to me, at the end of the day, Belichick loves his power. He loves his leverage. And I'm not telling you he doesn't know how to use it. But who's the owner going to step on him now for? There is no quarterback. There is no tight end. McCourty's about the only guy. And to his credit, McCourty was able to get his brother a job out of the thing. But it feels like McCourty is bought in. I think Belichick has got more power now than he's ever had before.
I think that's absolutely true. Absolutely. I mean, just think of it. He had to the last couple of years. You mentioned Gronkowski and Brady and Edelman. Like, there's a little anti-Belichick click there. You know what I mean?
Oh yes, absolutely.
And now it's pretty much gone, except for Skippy Magoo there, Edelman, who bugs me. Who's got his nose so far up Brady's ass, he doesn't know which end is up.
Well, maybe he's had a talking to, because today on Instagram, just like within the last 20 minutes, he posts on Instagram he and his Patriot uniform, helmet on, running down the field with the caption, Foxborough forever.
Good. Good.
So he's bought in.
Good. He needs an attitude adjustment.
Or he's been whipped.
Get your nose out of Brady's crack and get yourself open for Jared Stidham and play for the Patriots. They sign your checks. You know, Edelman, that thing last week bugged me.
Yeah, me too.
Like, come on, dude. Brady doesn't pay your bills. He doesn't pay your check. And he also didn't bring you into this world. Belichick did, and this team did.
You want to have those conversations with him. Sorry, Maz. Like, off, you know, outside of the public, you can't put that stuff on social media. You're, like, liking the post by Deion Sanders saying, it's like peanut butter without jelly, Jordan without Pippen. Edelman has to be with Brady in Tampa. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Oh, listen, it won't be long. I mean, he's already in line, Murray. Based on the Instagram you just read, he's got no juice without Brady. I think Belichick will slap some scent into him in 5 seconds.
But, Maz, you're so right. Like, the last couple of years, there was a little, you know, and it was not subversive, obviously. I mean, it didn't impact the win-loss record. But there was a little sort of anti-Belichick crowd there with Gronkowski, Brady, Edelman. You know, Gronkowski and Edelman weren't even they didn't even hide it that much. I mean, remember the Edelman thing in the offseason when he's getting the rubdown from Alex Guerrero? And he says, you know what they say, pliability is more important than ability or whatever.
Totally.
Like, totally, completely mocking Belichick's phrase of reliability is more important than ability.
Yeah. Be free, be happy, that whole thing.
Yes, yeah. There's a little insurrection there. And those players had the backing of the owner, you know? And so Bill sort of, and now that thing's gone, it's gone. And if they straightened Edelman's nose out, got his nose out of Brady's butt cheeks, you know, what's left? His kids are on the staff. There's no players left. And McCourty is not, Maz, a subversive impact. You know, he's
not his nature. That's right.
No, he's a company guy. You know, he's a liaison.
Pumping up Stidham.
Yeah, he's a liaison to the locker room. You're right. It's all about Bill.
Oh yeah, no. The Palace Q has been quashed with an iron fist. They're all gone. It is. It's Bill's party now, and if you don't stay in line, you're going to get your ass stripped out of here before you can blink your eyes.
And that's why the success failure this year, it's awful clear. It's off, makes for a very easy talk radio show. Very clear who's responsible for whatever success or failures the team has this year, which is just the way we like it.
Oh, right, absolutely.
Back to your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think they've always underestimated in New England. They can release every press release they want. You got to put your arms around athletes a little bit. They want to be liked. They want to be loved. You know, Parcells, Phil Simms came on Friday on this show. It was a great interview. He said Parcells was gruff, but he'd walk up to you once in a while and say, boy, you are, we are lucky to have you. And Simms, I started laughing. Simms said, he would come up to you once a camp and say that. You were so excited. Bill likes me. Bill Parcells, really? That's all it takes. You don't have to tell people all day you love them, but you got to hug them occasionally. Occasionally. I'm all for tough love. But I think there's a little bit of a lack of warmth with Belichick, and I think it wore Brady out.
Our guy Colin Coward, I think he's right. I think it was the driving factor for Brady's departure. That was the contract. But I think that on the list is how he was treated by Bill Belichick. Let me ask you now, Maz, that he has his total control we were talking about.
Right.
But he just lost the greatest quarterback of all time, who bolted out the door. Does Belichick change his ways? More chill Bill? Or does he get more authoritarian now that he has more control?
I don't know if he's going to get more authoritarian, but I can tell you he's not changing his ways. I don't think you'll see anything dramatic. I mean, look, we could argue that he changed him a little bit after the whole Malcolm Butler thing when they decided to go play cornhole, for crying out loud, and take the team out for team bonding activities and things of the like. But I don't think you're going to see a dramatic change.
Okay, I'm curious about that.
I think you're going to see more of a taskmaster. I think any of the bend that you've seen in recent years was the little bit he could do to try to make Tom happy. And that included some of the stuff with Alex Guerrero. Now? Oh, no, no, no. Now it's going to be like prison.
He's been freed. So what are your thoughts? We continue with your reaction to Brady Belichick, the fallout, and Brady's teleconference today. His first public comments as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That actually happened today. Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, I just was addressing your earlier point about who wins and loses. And I really believe they both lose here, because you've got a situation where Brady's going to a history of mediocrity, and you're seeing the seeds of it now being planted here. And I think we are in for some years of downturns. But one of the things, Michael, I've always wanted to talk to you about is your constant thinking that Brady expected Belichick to kiss his arse.
Yep.
I don't think so. I think it's the opposite, Michael. I think Belichick expects that from everybody. Just look at the nature of these two guys, and he'll tell you that.
Okay, Wayne, he's the boss.
Pardon?
He's the boss. He's supposed to get his ass kissed. That's the way it works.
Well, not to the degree this guy does. I mean, if you look historically at who has, looked relative to what's good for a whole team versus how an individual has to function with this guy, it's Brady over Belichick every time.
No, sir. No, sir. You can't run a team like that. You can't run a football team like that where the player is bigger than the coach. No, it doesn't work that way. And I just don't think it does, and I think that applies to the most important position on the field, and that's quarterback. And I understand the quarterback is more management than rank and file, but I've mentioned this a million times. The examples I've seen where the quarterback gets as big as the organization or bigger than the organization, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Why does it have to be one way or the other, though? In other words, like we always talk about the San Francisco dynasty, Mike, was Walsh as cold to his players as Belichick is?
No, but it was system over player.
Okay, but fine. But the point is, it can be both. Players still thought very highly of playing for Walsh. Like, this is where I disagree with you on this point. Why is it so hard for Bill to just every now and then go by and someone say, hey, you played a great game Sunday.
Uh-oh.
Okay, and then boom, here we go. Like, bang. So I just think that there is a human element with these players that Belichick needs to be a little bit more open to. And that, and look, his success is his success. But I also wonder about, whether it could have been a little managed a little bit better with some of the personalities along the way.
Okay. Am I blaming Bill for that or millennials for that? That they need to be coddled, or these superstar athletes or these high plate athletes? I mean, who should I blame on that?
Okay, but again, that's the way of the world.
This is sort of
what I'm saying. So if a lot of people need to be coddled, then that is sort of a skill that, as a leader, that you probably should have at least a little of.
James in Boston, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. I think Belichick's basically re-energized with this team, and I can't wait until Stidham hits Harry on a 50-yard pass. And Bill walks up the sidelines and takes a big giant, takes his right finger and does a big giant snort on the NFL logo.
I'm with you, James. I'm looking forward to that because I'm a big believer in Brady hasn't lost it physically. I think he's still close to, close to being an elite quarterback physically. I think he lost it in terms of trust and working with these guys and believing in these guys and making guys around him better. And I am the biggest blah I'm looking forward to is N'Keal Harry, sure. How about Jacoby Myers, you know, who Brady couldn't be bothered to work with? What if they come out and Jared Stidham, you know, 7 of 9 on targets to
Myers.
He's so important, I've already forgotten his name. Jacoby Myers. And, you know, they just sort of make that work. Like Brady used to make that work with all the with all the mediocre pieces around him. Brady used to make it work.
What Patton, if Stidham, something like that.
Yeah, what if Stidham walks in and just makes it work because he trusts in the guy, looks at the guy, will throw to the guy, will practice with the guy, off-season, in-season. Like, that's the blowing I'm looking forward to.
You remember it. I mean, in the preseason, they did seem to have some sort of rapport, and it was pretty obvious.
Right, yeah.
Based on some of the stuff that Myers was saying once Brady was trying to look at him and go at him, it's like if he dropped, he felt nervous. The kid was nervous to disappoint dad Tom Brady, you know, so I wouldn't be shocked at all if those two had something going.
There was just a little something dysfunctional the way it was all going, and I blame mostly the quarterback. I think it was part of his dissatisfaction with his surroundings, dissatisfaction with his contract, his coach, I think he's gotten a little snotty in terms of who he's surrounded by. Where were you drafted? What kind of name are you? What, you know, this, that, and the other. And I think that all came home to roost. And I'm curious to see if that all gets dialed back, if some of these guys are a little better than we thought they were. I'm just curious about that. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, Tom, congratulations. You're not only leaving an organization after 20 years, but you're moving to Tampa, Florida. What do you know about this area? Have you spent any time here? And just what are your thoughts about, you know, different climate, different region of the country?
Yeah, I think that's you know, thanks for the question. There's a lot of change, and, you know, it's just that. You know, you go from the northeast to the south, you know, the climate's different. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that'll be a little bit different. My drive to work will be different. I mean, there's a lot of things. So, and it's not like I'm 25 where I just basically pack a suitcase and go. I mean, I have 3 kids and, you know, it's just changing a little bit of our life, but that's life and that's what people do. And that's what you do when you, you know, have opportunities, other jobs and other places. And there's a lot of coaches that deal with that. There's a lot of players that have dealt with that. They deal with it every year. And, you know, in that sense, I'm no different than what so many other people have gone through. And you do the best you can do, and you make the transition as smooth as possible. And, again, for me, what's most important is to try to make it a smooth transition with my family just so I can get to work on the things I need to focus on. So hopefully I can get those things finished here in the next couple weeks. And, you know, get up to speed with the things I need to learn. And, you know, a lot of that is just studying a playbook and getting to know, you know, my teammates, you know, by phone calls and so forth until we have the opportunity to, you know, be together and try to get to know each other in that type of way.
More from Tom Brady today, talking about moving to Tampa. You guys think he brings the family with him?
No.
Nope.
No shot.
I don't think so either. And to me, a big one, I think, is schools. It's been a while. For a very brief time, I lived in Naples, and I've spent time on the west coast of Florida. It's come a long way, but are there any representative schools down there?
I can't imagine.
I mean, after putting the kids in school here, which have the best in the country, or in New York, you know, Connecticut area that are elite, is he going to put him at, like, the best private school in Tampa? Does that meet the mustard of, you know, the Bradys?
Nope.
I can't fathom that it does. I mean, on the East Coast, I know there's a couple, but, you know, I find it, boy, you know, Jack, who's with Bridget Moynihan, ain't going to be there. Okay, so do you think, Maz, that they're going to rent a house or buy a house and Giselle and the two Brady Giselle kids are going to move to Tampa?
no shot. And I don't know what information the guy who asked the question had, but my guess is that he had none. That would be my guess. I think what's good, I don't know what this guy's expecting. I think Brady's going to rent an apartment or a condo down there for the 3 or 4 days a week he's going to be in Tampa, because they're going to travel for games on weekends when they're not at home. And then he's going home Sunday night and coming back on Tuesday.
Good God. Like,
I think that's what, I don't think Giselle's going to set foot down there unless, as a caller pointed out last week, she has an appearance on the Home Shopping Network.
But his media arm, a.k.a. Jeff Darlington and others that have been on this from the get-go, have always, you know, they keep pushing this.
The family's going with them.
They keep pushing the proximity to New York thing. That's why I think, no, he'll just have a condo, like Maz said, and be there 3 to 4 days a week, and that's it. They're never there. He flies back to New York.
So that, I think, is for Jack. Again, the Bridget kid. I don't mean to be so crass there, but the kid.
But Giselle and the other two kids?
I don't know. They might be a unit. I think that one could go either way. I do remember during this whole process, someone did report that and said that, you know, the idea is not for Brady to commute. He's, you know, the family's together and they're going to be together, and that's sort of the point. And the Giselle Home Shopping Network is interesting. It is a shorter flight to Costa Rica and Brazil. So, like, I don't know. The thing that sticks out to me is the kids. Like, how do you go from these elite prep schools here in Connecticut and then go to school in Tampa? Like, you just...
But even their, like, high-end area, if there's, like, a Brookline equivalent of Tampa, who are your neighbors? Hulk Hogan and, like, Bubba the Love Sponge? Like, come on.
But if he's this guy that leaves Sunday night after the game and doesn't come back till the Wednesday morning team meeting, that's doing the Buccaneers a tremendous disservice. Tremendous. You can't be a helicopter quarterback. I'm sorry. That's not the quarterback's got to be more than any. He's got to be there more than anybody and put in more work than anybody. At least film work and, you know, off field work. Like, that's got to be, that's part of that job, especially when you're a new guy learning a new system and new players. Ah, come on, Brady. Don't tell me you're going to do that.
He can, though.
What do you think is coming if you had to bet?
I bet. Oh, so what? Because Jimmy demands a prediction. He's going to move the family down there. He's going to move the family down there, and they're going to be a unit down there.
And I think he can, because I'm sorry, Maz, to cut you off, but there's precedent. You know, Rivers just did this the last couple of years with the L.A. Chargers. He commuted. He watched tape while he was in his
limo. No. I'm saying just the opposite, Murray. He's not commuting. He's going to live with the family.
This is why I think he is going to do what Philip Rivers did. I don't think the family's going to end up down there. Okay. They're going to stay in New York.
I mean, seriously, the schooling thing, Mike, is a great point. Like, really, you're going to pull your kids out of school, out of an exclusive school in the Northeast, to send them to school in Tampa?
To me, that's the hang-up.
Like, call social services, somebody, please. That's bad parenting, if you ask me.
And if Giselle, and I know the climate's better, but if she thinks the people in Boston are gross, wait till you get a load. I don't know if that's technically the Redneck Riviera, but, you know, might as well be. Wait until you get a load of what's going on down there, G. Not exactly your kind of people either. So, but I'm sorry. I just have this feeling, because to do the other thing, boy, that's half-assing it, man. To be that guy that's there half a week, and he's talking about being at OTAs and all this off-season stuff, Maz. How's he going to do that if he lives in New York? He's got to... No, I get the sense he's going to surprise me, and he's going to move the family down there. They're going to be Tampa residents.
Okay, so again, I think he can move. The whole lot of them, it doesn't seem to work for me. I mean, maybe he will, maybe you're right, maybe I'm underestimating this Home Shopping Network thing, but if that's the case, then that'll change it, but I think he will move, they won't.
Nope, the whole mishpucha, they're coming to Tampa. Welcome to Tampa, Brady's. Long commercial-free segment next. We continue with your reaction to Brady today being introduced as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
It sounds to me like you're suggesting that they're trying to hide the fact that Brady and Belichick, that's the reason for it. But that's let's just say for the sake of argument, that is the reason. Do you understand that? Right. What do you make of that? That after 20 years, Brady did not want to stop playing and he just needed to get someplace else to get away from whatever it is, for whatever reason, that particular coach.
Well, I can certainly understand getting away from something that I think is obvious now, is that the pressure that Belichick probably puts on his football team and the pressure that Brady puts on himself to excel, the two of those finally collide. I happen to believe that working for Bill Belichick would have been a great honor. But when you're through, because I think that's exhausting. That kind of commitment to excellence is exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. So perhaps Tom wants to get out from under that kind of pressure and be free and go down to Florida in the warm weather and show the world how great he is, you know, how great he really is without Belichick. I know Belichick can win without Brady. I don't know that Brady can win without Belichick. So now we have the Eagles, and I just don't understand for the life of me why he would leave New England and move to another football team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, let's grab ass.
No, it's just the opposite. Someone woke up old Uncle Terry. Someone gave him an elbow in the lazy boy, and he woke up. The last couple of days, he's been bringing it.
Hee-haw over a bad phone.
It comes on with us, and it is. It is hee-haw, grab-ass radio on a lousy cell phone. But in the last day...
No. Is it no every time? No. It's always no.
And I agreed to the Terry Bradshaw interview, and he came out on a lousy cell phone and wanted to grab ass and say nothing. But in the last day, he's brought it. It's the most interesting Terry Bradshaw's ever been. You know, Greenberg asks him, are they hiding in New England, that Brady Belichick rift? And Bradshaw says, of course they are. Of course. And Bradshaw's saying, why would Tom do this? It's all about ego. It's all about to prove that he's better than Bill. And that's the wrong reason to do it. So, like, I think he's dead on. I think he's dead on with that. I mean, I still believe it begins and ends with the contract. Well, no, it doesn't end. I rephrase. It begins with the contract. And if they'd given him a market contract, he'd put up with all the bullcrap. But as I've said many times, it's gotten to a point where, because of all that other stuff, because of ego, and because of all these underlying things, he wasn't willing to put up with a crappy contract anymore.
It allows all that other stuff to fester once he doesn't get the deal. The deal makes it a little bit more palatable to deal with Bill's crap. I'm just a hair too young. Can you guys tell me, what was his relationship with Chuck Knoll at the end, Terry Bradshaw? Was it...
I just remember the whole thing petered out. And it wasn't like they moved, you know, Gold Star, if you can tell me who the next quarterback was in Pittsburgh, was it Cliff Stout?
Sounds right.
You know, yeah, like
it, sounds right.
But it wasn't because
I'm just wondering if this maybe influences his why he's talking about this so openly.
No, that team just got old and beat up and their steroids ran out and like all of that. Like it wasn't a Montana Young thing or a Brady Belichick thing. It just ran its course from what I remember. But I mean, I think he's nailing it. I mean, they're hiding the Brady Belichick riff, or they're trying to cover it up. It's there. It's the reason Brady's gone. I don't think Terry puts enough into the contract, but he's right. But the thing that he says, that I know Bill can win without Brady, I don't know that Brady can win without Bill. Don't you think most people disagree with that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, isn't he on the other side? Don't most people think that Brady's going to go down there and have success, but people are doubting what Bill can do with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer and all of this? Don't you think that Bradshaw there is on the other side of most people?
Definitely. He's definitely going against the grain on that one, because, again, everybody sort of just takes what is apparent on the surface, which is Brady. I think, you know, say what you want about Bradshaw and our experiences with him, but, you know, he's smart enough to know the importance of a coach, right? He was in a winning organization for a long time, and so I think he understands that probably more than most people do, and he appreciates the, you know, the brilliance of Bill Belichick, as Michael Irvin told us long, long ago. But absolutely, most people see it the other way. But again, I think this is because they don't like Bill. And so they say, you know, they're looking for a reason to discredit Bill and not Brady. But I generally think Bradshaw's got it right.
Okay. And I also think, you've mentioned this many times, most people defer to the player on that. But, you know, again, so when Bradshaw says, I know Bill can win without Brady, but I don't know if Brady can win without Bill, I would say most of you out there disagree. So let's hear from you, shall we? Here's James in Bridgewater. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I just think there's no reason Brady shouldn't be here. I mean, if you look at the landscape of the league, what are these quarterbacks making? I mean, a middling quarterback, let's say top 15 quarterbacks, what are they making? I mean, if you look at Brady, so they say Brady's age, oh, he's getting old. 38 to 39, Super Bowl win. 39 to 40, MVP. Yeah, it should have been Carson Wentz, but he got injured. Brady doesn't get injured. That's just a great thing about him. I mean, then you go 41. Another Super Bowl win.
James, what's the point?
How don't you lock this guy in? How don't you lock this guy into a four-year deal? Let's say $20 million a year. I mean, that'd just lock him up. He finishes his career as a Patriot.
I'm going to stop. Where do you come up with $20 million? He just got $25 a year. So what? Why was he going to? He made it clear he's not taking a discount here. Sorry. And why not do it? I mean, what? You give 43-year-old guys four-year contracts? What are you, nuts?
Oh, that's, yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, that's silly. But I do think there was an opportunity earlier on in the process for them to tack on another year and keep Brady happy. And the most obvious time was after that, was after the Eagles Super Bowl, right? You know, Brady was coming off a historic performance in the game. He had a fabulous year. You know, maybe if they had tacked on a year at that time, they could have avoided this.
So I think that's the second guess. Not giving him the deal now, I'm actually in favor of. I think they made the right call now. But when they traded Garoppolo and they're going to Super Bowls and Brady's winning MVPs, could you, as Maz just said, tacked on a year or two there and given yourself a better shot of a transition? That's, I think, the second guess. I do. I agree with that. Bill in Westford. Hi, Bill. Ooh, I hit the wrong number, Bill. You were waiting an hour. My fault, dude. I'm sorry. Call back. Greg in Lincoln. Go ahead, Greg.
I completely disagree, guys. And I think Belichick rolling out Stidham and Hoyer, he's trying so hard to prove that his system is all that matters and not Brady, that he can take away the goat and just plug in an unproven QB or a castaway and not skip a beat, because that's what he does. He takes unknowns and he makes them great.
So do you think that's why? So do you think that's the number one reason why he let Brady go?
I think it's a big part of it, that his ego, he wants to show everyone that he doesn't need, you know, what we consider the GOAT. He can do it with anyone. He can do it with an unknown.
So here's how I say that, Greg. I think that I agree that he wants that and he likes that challenge and is going to really enjoy it if he succeeds without Brady. It's not why he did it. So you see what I'm saying? Like, that's a side benefit. Brady likes the fact that he has better receivers in Tampa, but that's not why he's in Tampa. He likes the fact that Bruce Arians is going to treat him like an equal, but that's not why he's there. It's just a side benefit. It starts with the contract and the deal and the fit overall. And if Belichick, to me, I don't want to believe that Belichick did it purely out of ego, that I'm going to prove myself without Tom, and so I'm putting myself in a worse position long term because I want to stroke my ego. I don't want to believe that. So I think it just didn't make sense. The contract didn't make sense at this time. Now, will Bill enjoy the chance to prove himself without Brady? Yes, he will. It's just farther down the list. Pete in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, so as a non-Patriot fan, bring a different perspective. I am more excited about watching Brady without Belichick and vice versa than I am about my own team. I just think the dynamics of this is unbelievable. And don't you think it's going to be the number one storyline through the NFL season, how these two do without each other?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, the Pats might not be a very interesting watch. You know, if they have Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer out there managing the game and going like 11 of 19 for 136 yards and they're winning, you know, 21-17, it's not going to be interesting to watch, but the story will be interesting to follow. In Tampa, that's going to be a fun team to watch. They're going to have Brady chucking it all over the field, Maz. That's going to be a fun team to watch.
Well, so the only thing I'd be careful of there, if I'm Arians, is that make sure you don't have Brady chucking it too much and that he's throwing it down the field and getting the crap kicked out of him. So this was one of the questions that I wish had been asked today, which was specifically to Arians on the record. You know, hey, how much are you going to tailor the offense to Tom? Are you worried about exposing him to big hits or the seven-step drop, et cetera, et cetera? And no one asked it.
That's right. That is the question. How is Arians going to adjust to Brady? Bill in Westford, jump back on. Bill, thanks for calling back. What do you got?
So this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I think Belichick is done in New England. This is the beginning of the end. The first thing was the Butler benching. getting rid of Brady is the second thing. If the team starts going like 8-8 next year, he's going to be getting booed, and he'll be on his way out of here.
So Bill, let's say he goes 8-8, 7-9. Does he get fired after that second year?
It's not if the team looks like they're really going to be good, like he's rebuilt it and they're going to be this fantastic team. But I don't see that. I think he's a mediocre coach, above average. He did nothing. They did nothing before Brady came here. They were great while Brady was here. Now Brady's gone, and it's all about Bill.
Okay, telling you the bar on Bill and the so that's another guy that disagrees with Terry Bradshaw. I know Bill can win without Brady. I don't think people agree with that. Is there a chance Belichick's fired after 2 years?
No, even if he's hovering around 500 with those records. No, absolutely not. He would have to be like engulfed in a massive scandal or cheating or something like that, and it would have to be 6-10.
No, he survived those.
Another one then, Jimmy. It would have to be something like that for him to be kicked to the curb.
Well, wait a minute. So you said, is there a chance, right? That's how you phrased the question?
Yes.
Is there a chance? And my answer is yes. There's always a chance. I mean, if things were to really disintegrate and Stidham sucks and they can't find a quarterback, and let's just say that, I don't know, there's some sort of rift with Devin McCourty goes out the door in 2 years and rips Belichick on his way out, I don't think it's impossible that the Crafts throw their hands up and say, you know what, we're going to start over with someone else.
Entirely possible. Is John making more of the calls?
Factor
that in as opposed to Robert. And the Crafts should be enjoying the commentary so far, where most everyone is blaming Bill. Most everyone is blaming Bill. Locally, nationally, Bill's getting dumped on. You know, I think that the last caller, I think there's a lot of people who feel that way. Bill's nothing without Tom, so I think this is playing out nicely for the Crafts. Not our fault. Bill's a big meanie. Bill wasn't nice to Tom. It was Bill's decision. And if Bill falls on his face, and if Jonathan gets a little bit more of a foothold in the decision, et cetera, after 2 years, it wouldn't surprise me that they just completely throw him under the bus, even though I think he's doing the right thing here. But that's, I think it's all on the table, part of what makes this story so fascinating. 90 seconds, no commercials, just an update with Murray. More over the reaction today of Tom Brady being introduced as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.